Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Everybody just take a real deep breath. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes when you just live in life, you just need to do that. We get so conditioned to just, you know, quote, get into His presence and start yapping. Sometimes we just need to sit there and don't say anything at all. Just breathe Him in. Enjoy His presence. I mean, the Word says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Amen? So if you ever find yourself out of joy, then you're not in His presence. And you need to shut the world off and turn your affections toward Him and just enjoy Him. Amen? Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We started a number of weeks ago, we started a series on really the core values that the Spirit of the Lord gave me as He told me, you're starting this church. But like I've said in previous messages, in previous weeks, really these core values are not anything that should be specific to one church or another. They really are the core values that a new creation man functions by. And there are reasons why he has us function by these core values. Because how many know that you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 9? He says, I serve God in my spirit in this gospel. And then we've looked at it before. In one of the letters he wrote Timothy, he said that I worship my God in a clear conscience, just like my forefathers did. And we need to understand this, folks, that for a new creation man, you are a spirit. Man is created to function like this. And the real you is your spirit. And the things that you find in the Word of God, yes, we are, as Romans 12 says, yeah, we're supposed to renew our minds. But we renew our minds so that our minds get trained to submit to our spirit. So all the things that the Spirit of God brings up in the new covenant as to how we should function, how we should act, and those kinds of things, those are merely things to keep you having clarity from your spirit. Because how many know when you get in the middle of strife and your emotions are going, how many know you're not really keying in on what your spirit's saying to you? How many know when you have animosity towards your brother or somebody else, you're not really getting clarity from what your spirit's saying to you? So everything that we do and everything we look at in the new covenant is designed to keep you in a place of clarity from what's going on in your spirit. Because you remember what Jesus said? He said, remember, the theologians have called it the temptation of Christ, but if you look at the model, Jesus immediately, yes, he did stand and say, it's written. But we forget sometimes that really what was going on there was in the midst of the situation, the Spirit of God was speaking to him. And every time he said something, the Spirit of God reminded him of what he was getting ready to say. And he said, and every time the darkness would speak to him, he would say, no, it stands written, and he would quote the verse. You know, and we talked about this this morning in our Firestarter class. Go over to Titus real quick, just real quick. I know I told you to go to 2 Corinthians, but we'll go back there in a minute. See, we need to understand this, folks. As a new creation, man or woman, you have to understand that the system is laid out. And I just want to say this. Every human being on the planet is created to function this way and to live this way. Because man is not just an animal. He doesn't have a brain, a mind, and emotions, and that's all he is. You know, I love my little dog, Max. As far as I'm concerned, he's the coolest little chihuahua on the planet, and he knows that. But he doesn't have a spirit. And I'm thankful that I'm not just like a dog. You know, we are a spirit, we have a mind, we have emotions, and we live in a physical body, but the real us is our spirit. And we've got to never lose sight, never, never, never lose sight of the fact that everything that we read, all the instruction that Paul brings out in his letters and Peter brings out in his letters, all of those things are designed to keep you in a place of having clarity from your spirit. Those are the reasons why we do and we function the way we do. Not just merely because, well, I'm a Christian and this is how we're supposed to act. Because if you function like that and that's your point of origin to everything you're reading in the New Covenant, you're going to find yourself, you're functioning from a place of law. And you're going to try to implement these things in your life and you're going to try to, you know, will these things to be because you know you're supposed to be this way. And you're just basically on the gerbil wheel of failure. Because every time you try to enact something, you know, I'm just going to say this. You know, we've heard folks that, you know, I read an article just recently. There was an article in Charisma magazine, and you know, it was talking about this minister that was having challenges with pornography, and he was just having a hard time fighting it. Now listen closely before you turn me off. Listen closely to what I'm getting ready to say. If he would stop fighting it, he would win. I'm not saying he's supposed to look at it. But the challenge is, see, we've learned from a system that the way we get victory over things is we dig our heels in and we stand there and we just will it. I am not going to do this. As soon as you do that, you're basically setting up a law in your natural man, and your natural man will buck it and you'll fail every time. Because man was never created to live from his will. He was created to live from his spirit. So if a guy is having an issue with pornography, then why don't you begin to declare the will of the Lord over that woman instead of looking at her with lust? Father, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for that woman. I thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon her. You send people across her path to minister the life of Jesus to her. And you begin to speak those kinds of things, and you've just turned your affections to something that you're looking at to him. And folks, the key to victory in Jesus is you turn, always be aware of where your affections are anchored. You just turn your affections to, stop trying to fight this and just turn your affections to him. What did Paul say in Colossians? My wife said it this morning in the class. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things that are above. Because when you set your affections on him, see, now you're living out of your spirit, you're not living out of your man. Can you see that? Titus chapter 2. You guys are already there. I'm not there yet. Titus chapter 2, I want you to see this. Because look, let me tell you something, folks. We've been here, whether it's by default or it's actually been said in your upbringing as a Christian, we've been trained to have the mindset that darkness is oh so bad and oh so powerful. But that's not what the New Testament says. The New Testament here, look at Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, it says this, "For the grace of God has appeared." Now let me add first, before we go any further, you know, if Rewind. The grace of God is the presence of God, and with the presence of God comes the power of God and the working of that power. The grace of God is the presence of God and the working of His power because of His presence. If we don't have that understanding, you're going to completely miss what this verse is saying. Because everywhere in Paul's writing, he always talks about the interaction of the presence of the Lord with Him. In Him and with Him. That's what Jesus talked about. He said, I'm going to go away, but it's beneficial that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you another one just like me. He's been with you, but He's going to be in you. Somewhere along the way, we've missed it. We thought that the gospel was something else, when really it was just the solidifying of the presence of God in the presence of man forever. That's the gospel. Because that's how man was created to function. Let's make man in our image after our likeness. The presence of God in the presence of man. So everything always comes back to the preservation of the presence of God in the presence of man. How we function is designed to protect the presence of God in the presence of man. When we renew our mind with the Scriptures, it's designed to cause us to live and walk in the presence of God inside the presence of man. So when we have these mindsets that a religious system instills in us and tries to paint this picture of oh so powerful darkness and oh so it's so powerful and has so much control, and you know, we always talk about how bad it gets. Give me a break. What does the Word say? Yeah, it says in the last days things will wax worse and worse. I think there's more than one verse in the script in the New Testament though, isn't there? Because Paul said in Romans, he says where sin abounds. So bring it on. Because the worse it gets, the stronger the presence of God gets in you. The worse it gets out in the system of the world, the stronger the presence of God and the power of God working through you becomes. He told us that. So over here in Titus, he says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that we can deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, I think I just read it the way it actually reads, because I'm so used to reading it that way. Your English translation says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So we try to will that. But that's not what this verse actually says. See if this sounds a little bit different. Now, again, what is the grace of God? It is the working of His power because of His presence. Everybody say His presence. This verse says, the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that we can deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and that we can live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now that's a little bit different than what I was raised on. Because this is actually a verse telling you that you're empowered, that you already have victory over it. Not that you're going to try to stand and hold on until Jesus comes. Did you hear what I just said? So, we're talking about core values. Core values. Go to 2 Corinthians. The number one core value that we talked about initially was really along the lines of what Jesus spoke of in the commandments. He said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second was like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And what we maybe haven't realized is the fact that even as a new creation, living out of your spirit, that was a shadow. The sequence of those verses was a shadow of the reality that a new creation man would function in. John said, how do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your... Well, he said in his letter we call 1 John, he says, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. So therefore, we love him because he first loved us. So as a new creation man, the reason you can love him is because he's loving you first. But if you don't live in that place of receiving his love and believing the love he has for you, then everything else is screwed up. Because you won't believe that he loves you, therefore you won't love you, and then because you don't love you, you don't love anybody else. Now, you know, as a good Christian, you'd never admit that, but see, if we're gonna train ourselves to just live out of our emotions and live out of our minds, instead of learning how to live out of our, seated in our spirit and take direction from that, because that's the real you. Where is the love of God poured out? Into your heart. It comes from the nature that you are in your spirit as a new creation man. So we live there. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll touch on this real quick. I mean, I can't go back through all of it, but if you've missed any of these, you can go onto our website and you can download them for nothing. They're all there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he makes this statement. He says, I guess it would help if I was in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 16. He says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. And we talked about the fact that, folks, what this verse is actually saying. You know, we talk about the old things passing away, and we talk about, like, that's, you know, the old man, and those things are true, but it's a little bit further along than that, what Paul is talking about, because he's literally talking about an environment that you used to function in as a natural human being, but now that you're a new creation, the way you used to function as a natural human being, those things are gone old. That's an old system. It's obsolete. The new system is you live out of your spirit and you do not see people from your natural man and you do not pay attention to their natural man. Did you hear what I just said? Okay, so the first core value is see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. The only way you're going to have any victory in that area is if you actually spend time with Daddy and you begin to know and believe the love he has for you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you live there, His love coming flowing over you will keep you in a place, listen to me closely, it'll keep you in a place of having a blameless heart towards yourself. And towards everybody else. And if there's one thing that we've done very poorly at, because we've not been trained along these lines, is having a blameless heart towards ourselves. Because we thought that the mark of spirituality is to know all your flaws and to point them out. Can I just tell you something? The only person that's paying attention to all your flaws is darkness. You say, well, Pastor Dan, how do you know that? Because every time you think about it, you want to go jump in a trash can. And my Bible says, in the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation. So if you're thinking about stuff and it's causing you wanting to drop and jump into a trash can, then you're listening to darkness, because darkness is the only one that speaks those things and causes that kind of reaction and that kind of environment, because the Spirit of God doesn't produce that. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 says, look, we're in a new season, a new era. Everybody say a new season. New season. Say, I'm in a new season. I don't look at myself after the natural man anymore. Well, that was lame. I don't look at myself through the natural man anymore.
I don't look at myself through the natural man anymore.
And therefore, I won't see anyone else after the natural man either. Do you realize that's a fulfillment of the two greatest commandments that Jesus said in the law existed? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the shadow. The reality and the fulfillment of that is a new creation man living out of his spirit, and the love of God that was poured out into your spirit. As long as you live there, it keeps you and keeps your heart blameless towards you. And I mean, go read 1 John. That's what he's talking about all over the place. I got to be honest with you. When I first started seeing these things, when I started reading 1 John and really realizing what he was saying, this thing was completely revolutionary to me, because no one ever told me these things. That the love of God, the power of the love of God, the DNA of the love of God is not to expose all your deficiencies, but the DNA of the love of God actually causes you to stand in a place of blameless and to see yourself and others in that same light. I mean, I don't have time today, but you know, there's so many verses. Ephesians 5, what does Jesus do? He speaks over you because he sees you spotless and blameless. Well, I think Jesus is pretty much the epitome of the revelation of the love of God, don't you? So if the love of God is saying that, if that's the picture that Father wants us to see of how the love of God functions, then no wonder he called us the righteousness of God in 2 Corinthians 5 here. But we haven't understood that the power of the righteousness of God is righteousness doesn't get offended. Righteousness doesn't get hurt. Righteousness doesn't get bent. Because what does the word say? It says the love of God. The love of God covers a multitude of sins, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says the love of God believes the best of every person. Aren't you one of those every persons? So, number one, see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. Number two, choose to see people with no deficiency. So we're right on the heels of that. Choose to see people in the light of no deficiency. Now, go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. If I get there today, I'm going to take you to a good place. But you got to stay out of your head. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 22. Actually, let's go. Just read that one first. We'll go back to chapter 5 in a minute. Chapter 6, verse 22 says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. And if then the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus just told you how a human being functions. How many know Jesus knows the schematics of how a human being is wired? He just told us how a human being functions. According to what's in you affects how you see things. And if what's in you is darkness, then what you're going to see will be affected by that. Jesus came into the earth to take a man as a natural human being who was living in the shadow of death and was completely contaminated by what darkness had done to him, bring them out, set them in their spirit with his spirit connected, and learn to live there and stay free from all of the influences that were contaminating his thought process, his emotions, and his perspectives over here as a natural man. That's what Jesus did for a human being. A whole person is not somebody who just became a Christian. A whole person is someone who learns as a new creation to live and function out of their spirit as an everyday way of life. That's a whole person. Because you're not just a two-part being, you're a three-part being. Your spirit is the real you, so let's just learn to live there. So he says here, the eye is the lamp of the body. Go, then if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. I mean, no, there are a lot of new creations. If they're new creations, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of them, but their eye is not clear. Because they're not living out of the Spirit, they're living out of their mind. Now go back one chapter. I was going to go to Ephesians, but I'll go there in a minute. Go back one chapter. Chapter 5. Now, second core value is what? To see others with no deficiency. See, it's easy for us as a new creation. And, you know, it's nobody in this room. But you know somebody. Right? That, you know, you know somebody that they pay attention to whether a dude's got a tattoo or whether a girl's got her nose pierced or whether there's a chain going from the ear to the nose. You know, you know somebody that pays attention to all that stuff. You know somebody who wears spikes or notices things like that and notices how an outward man looks and is always commenting about how the person is dressed or what they're like or what kind of hairstyle they have or what, you know, whatever it is. You know somebody like that, right? Y'all aren't telling, you aren't saying nothing. I know somebody like that. You know, we've met people like that, right? But how many know what they're actually doing is they're just reinforcing their natural man to pay attention to natural things. And because they've chosen to live there, probably by default because they've never been trained otherwise, their spirit is trying to talk to them about things and relay things from the Spirit of God, from the heart of Daddy, for that person, but they're not getting it because all they're paying attention to is what they see with their eyes and what their emotions are telling them and what their theology has told them. I mean, you can memorize theology all you want to, but if it's not coming from the Spirit of truth, and that's all you base your spirituality on is your theology, I mean, you're going to miss a lot of things going on around you because you haven't trained yourself to live out of your spirit. You trained yourself to live out of your theology. Y'all are quiet today. Are y'all here? So, looking at other people, ministering to other people, we want to become people and be people that no matter where we are, the Spirit of God has the liberty to impress upon us certain things about certain individuals, or we could say it like this: we want to be people that because our eye is clear. And we don't have a bunch of mess preloaded in our minds. That we pay attention when God highlights somebody to us, any place we are. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Well, so what? You're still breathing, aren't you? So you're in the race. The fact is, we want to learn and develop to become spontaneous people. You know, doesn't the word say that be ready to give an account to anybody who would ask about the faith that you have? You know, we've read that and we thought that meant we're supposed to, you know, get doctrined up so that somebody can push a button and we can just spew it all out. That's not what that means at all. That's talking about living a life of spontaneity with the Spirit of God, because the issue is not your theology and your doctrine that you've memorized and preloaded in your head. The issue is, is your eye clear, and are you living connected so that the Spirit of God can just show you things and you go with it? So we keep our, what did Peter say? He said, gird up the loins of your mind. Why did he say that? Because he wants us to keep ourselves uncontaminated and free from being dominated by your emotions and your thought processes, so you can stay connected in your spirit and you just go with it. See, everything that was said in Peter's writings, Paul's writings, all of it was all said to keep us free to live out of our spirit and just go with it. Yeah, I'll just go with this. Some weeks ago, I made a statement, and it's on record, so, you know, at some point I'll probably get some phone call from somebody. But look, what's the biggest beef? You better stay in your spirit on this one, you're going to miss it. What's the biggest beef that new creation man has with people in the world? What's the hot topic right now that we're trying to overthrow? And what's the hottest topic that the world is pushing back on right now? Not gun control, don't go there. The other one. Homosexuality, right? Can we get on the right page on this argument? The reason why homosexuality is wrong, and I brought this up before, so if you missed the last recording, then it's on this one now. The reason I brought it up is because we've got to get a right perspective from Daddy's heart on this thing, because if we don't, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the biggest opportunity to minister the life of God to people who just don't know who they are. The reason homosexuality is sin and wrong is because it masks from the person them ever seeing their divine identity. Because their origin, a human being's origin, before it was in a natural man, their origin was in God. Did you hear what I just said? The origin of man, his initial origin, before it was ever in a man, it was in God. And the thing about sin and missing the mark, you're missing the mark because, or as Rowan says, you're falling short because, you know, what's the glory? Romans 3. You're falling short of the glory. What's the glory? See, we spout these verses and we're saying, the glory is divine design. The reason why homosexuality is wrong as a sin in the heart of Daddy is because it masks to the person, it masks their divine identity. Because their origin was in him before it was ever in anything natural. I don't give a flying flip whether a dude is born as a homosexual or not. I just don't care. It's a non-issue. And for Christians to argue is just the dumbest thing. Because whether the dude is born that way or he's not born that way, what produced him? The system. Can somebody be born with issues? Can somebody be born with issues in their mind? Yes or no? Yeah. Can they be born with physical issues? Yes or no? Well, yeah. Because the system produces something that is short of what divine design is. So why are we going to sit there and argue a red herring? I'm going to get a bunch of, you know, maybe not right now, but down the road maybe. Why are we going to argue a red herring when it's not even the issue? We're masters at chasing darkness in arguments, and they just keep us busy chasing our tails. Because we're not even addressing the real issue. We're just, they're framing the argument, we're running around trying to win. So you have masses of new creations that are spewing all kinds of garbage towards a human being and completely violating 2 Corinthians 5:16. I said, don't go to Matthew 5, right? You're still there? Look at verse. Now, my Bible is in red, so I know Jesus said this, right? So if Jesus said this, do you think it's right, or is it somebody's take on what he said? Verse 44. Jesus said, but I say to you Love your who? Now, is everybody your enemy? Well, he's talking about enemies. That's like worst case, isn't it? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So in this context, he's talking about the ones that adamantly stand up against you. He says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45. So that you may be sons of what? Who? Your Father. Well, how does your Father act? Who's in heaven, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And then verse 48, end of the chapter, says, therefore you are to be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Have you ever been in a situation where you live next door to that guy? And you got up in the morning and the sun was over your house, but over in his house, man, they wouldn't know, there was darkness. It was still like midnight. You ever seen that? No, that's dumb. The sun comes up on his house just like it comes up on your house. If he plants things, does the sun affect those things? So, Father's not discriminating. So if Father's not discriminating, why do we? That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5, look, as a new creation, now that you have my nature, this is how my nature functions. You're not going to see people from your natural man, and you're not going to see them in theirs. Because of what my son did, that's not really them. But they don't know that. They don't realize that I made them the righteousness of God. They don't realize what their divine identity is. Now, go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. A bunch of verses we've always read. Everybody say, keep my eye pure. Keep my eye pure. Galatians chapter 3. Now, what is the issue with the gospel? The issue with the gospel is the Spirit of God fused back with the spirit of man. That's the way it was created. That's the way God designed it. That's the way a human being is created to function. Man, his spirit, fused with God's spirit, working together. So Galatians chapter 3, it says, now for the sake of time, let's just jump down to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of law are under a curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in this book of the law, to perform them. Verse 11. Now, chapter 3 of Galatians, now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, the righteous man will live by faith. Verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, notice what it says here. He who practices them shall live by them. Okay, now get yourself out of Jewish law for a minute. Because this is a principle. See, this is where we miss it. We always just keep it in the confines of Jewish law, and we miss it because we don't realize that the religion of natural man has certain ways it functions. And it doesn't matter if it's Jewish law or the law of your mind that Paul talked about in Romans. It all functions the same way. Whatever you practice, that's how you see everybody else. So he's saying here, if you're practicing law, then you're going to see everybody else through that filter. There's two things that have run rampant in the body of Christ that we really need to get a handle on. One of them is, everybody, okay, here it is. Don't give me any phone calls on this, just pray about it. One of them is, And I think this is probably just because, you know, did you ever wonder why there's so many different churches and there's so many different churches that are, I'm trying to be nice here, there's so many different churches that are, their origin, their foundation is on the foundation of an ethnicity. You ever notice that? You know, you got the, I'm just making something up because I don't want to peg anybody, but you know, you got the Latin Episcopals, you know, or you got, you know, this group or that group or this or that, and so they got these names on these churches, and so everybody there, they're all the same, and you know, they, you know, you got the Greek Orthodox, and you got the, you know, the Russian whatever, and you got the this and that, and you, okay, why are we doing that? Because the identity of people is more grounded in their natural man than it is in who they are as a new creation. Notice here in Galatians 3, he said that Christ redeemed you from the curse that is law, verse 13. He became a curse for us. Curse is everyone who's hanging on a tree. Verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. On the who? So any other ethnicity other than Jewish? Because that's what ethnos means. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. Did you know that the blessing of Abraham, go read Romans 4:17. It says that Abraham believed in the presence of Him. That's the blessing. We've talked about the blessing like it's the money, it's the gold, it's the horses, it's this, it's that. It's all of that stuff is a byproduct of he was in the presence of Him. Okay, so the gospel has brought the presence of Him back into the presence of you. That's the blessing. So therefore, your origin of identity is not in anything natural. Your origin of identity is Him. Is y'all getting this at all? He says, Christ redeemed you from the curse, which is the law, in order that the Christ Jesus, in verse 14, the blessing of Abraham, the presence of Him, would come to everybody on the planet, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, jump forward, because of time, jump forward to verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with yourself. Is that what it says? Yeah, my Bible says the same thing. Having clothed yourself with Christ. Now, what's verse 28 say? There is neither Jew or Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's neither male or female. Today's Mother's Day. I got something for you guys, ladies. Because the second thing that the church has an issue with all the time, it seems like, is the female. I may have heard people talk about, well, you know, those women, they're not supposed to teach, and they're not supposed to this, and they're just supposed to be quiet, and after all, it was all Eve's fault. I mean, I've even heard a lot of mess. In some kind of way, like in the body, like, you know, the men are like the hands and the neck, and the women are like the corn on the bottom of the little toe. Yeah, how many have heard that kind of mess? They forgot to realize that in the same verses, Paul said by the Spirit of God that those parts that are less appealing I'm not saying that's correct, but I'm just saying in their argument, if that's really how they see the position of a woman, then in their argument, the Spirit of God completely destroys it, because he says the ones that are in the body, the ones that are of less appeal, he gives more. His presence is more. The grace of God is more, so that all parts are equal. Because it's all one body. He says, for all of you have been baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ, not yourself. So in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek or slave or free. So economic conditions, it doesn't matter. You're to view somebody that has nothing and value them the same way you'd value somebody that has everything. If it's a male or a female, the scenario, the environment in the body of Christ, I mean, get this. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says that the woman is the glory of man. Now, why are we going to go and curse the glory of us, guys? That's just how dumb can you get and still breathe. The woman is the glory of the man. Seems like to me the Spirit of God really esteems women highly. Right? Okay, so it says there's no Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Did you guys notice at the beginning of this letter what Paul said? And I'm done at this verse. Look at verse 14 of chapter 1. Galatians. Verse 13 says, for you've heard, this is Paul speaking of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Everybody say ancestral traditions. Ancestral traditions. Verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his presence and the working of his power, and he was pleased to reveal his son in me, which identity did Paul choose? Which one did he choose? He chose the new creation identity. You know why? Because that identity came before he was ever in a natural earth suit as a natural man being influenced by a natural system. He chose his original identity in God instead of the natural setting and its influence in his life. Why do you think the Word of God says in Christ there is no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no plug any ethnicity you want to in there. There isn't, that's not you. Your real identity is in Him because it's all one body. So here's the thing, folks. In Ephesians, I'm done. In Ephesians, he said this. He said to guard the unity of the Spirit. Right? Part of the core values, what that establishes, if we live in this place of knowing the love that God has for us and loving ourselves as we love our neighbors and seeing no deficiencies in anybody else, what that's doing is that's establishing and maintaining an environment where we're guarding the unity of the Spirit. Folks, listen. Our natural diversities are awesome. As this church grows, we're going to have a whole bunch of different folks, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, the natural diversity, our natural differences, you know, and they're awesome until they start causing division and they start deteriorating the unity of the body. And then we've crossed the line. Now we're back over in our natural man functioning over here, and we're not even living out of our new creation anymore. Because your new creation man is not going to draw attention to your different things. Paul said, I chose, when he revealed his son in me, I realized my identity before it was ever as a Jewish man. My identity was in God, and I chose to go with it because it came first. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? Isn't God awesome? Man, if we just learn to live here, man, it's just so much freedom. You keep all this mess out of your head because you just understand that's just the way darkness works, and I'm not going there, so I'll just choose to stay in the presence of the Lord where the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I won't allow myself to hold blame against me, and I won't allow myself to hold blame against anybody else, because that's not how the love of God flows through me.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.